Greetings, fellow investigators, and welcome to our video podcast, Into the Darkness, where my friends and I play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Rayleigh. Our scenario is entitled Bird's Head, and this is episode 4. It was written by Mick Swan, who is also our GM. I will be giving a short recap of our last episode. So sit back and relax. The players are ready. Let's begin our journey into the darkness. As I recall, we arrived in Darwin. We were in Darwin for a short period of time, at which eventually we left Darwin and we went to Hollandia, where we met Wepu. And finally, we arrived in Manaquari, where we met the governor, Van Hoyt. And we also had a meeting with a Professor Brian Lehrer, who told us about a legendary creature called the Ropin. He showed us some photographs, one of a statue and one of something large flying over a house. And he claimed that the photograph had come from a man named Joachim Franz. And as I think that's about it for what we did, we are now ready to go on our journey. So, Mick?
Well, you are now in Manaquari, I believe. And it is the morning of Saturday the 24th of August, I believe. And it was okay. The night wasn't as bad as you imagined it was going to be, sleeping in the tropics. I mean, it's okay here. There's a nice breeze coming in off the ocean. And it's very hot. It is.
Is it humid? It's probably very humid, isn't it?
It is. It's kind of humid, but then the light breeze coming in off the ocean has quite a sort of regulating effect. So it's not that bad.
Yeah, but it'll get worse further in, though.
We're below the equator, yes?
You are, yes.
So technically, this is the end of winter for below the equator.
Yep. You've missed the rainy season would have ended about 5 weeks ago. So you're kind of edging into spring now. So it's not as hot as it could be, but nonetheless, the humidity is quite high.
I'm used to it.
No, well, I'm kind of doing my best with the humidity. You don't get as much of that where I come from, but with the water and the moisture coming off of the ocean, I'm familiar with that, so I'm not super having a problem dealing with the humidity.
Well, I live right off the Gulf of Mexico, so I'm really used to the humidity. This isn't much more than a summer in Odessa.
Well, you brought up one of the chaps from the well, we can't call it a governor's office because it's just it's a house with a shed next to it. But,
outpost.
Yes, one of Van Croyt's men, one of his local men, brings you breakfast, which consists of some very disappointing porridge. It's sort of thin to the point where it's very nearly gruel. And some very good coffee. Which is clearly grown locally.
Breakfast of champions.
They actually grow coffee here, huh?
Yeah,
well, it's tropical enough for it.
Yeah.
You know, if we had any kind of spare time, I'd sure like to see how coffee is grown. I actually have no idea whatsoever.
Well, most of the coffee plantations, the Dutch coffee plantations, will be back up near Hollandia.
Ah.
There's very little settlement so far in Bird's Head, or the Vogelkopf, as the Dutch call it.
Well, now I hear coffee grows on trees somehow.
Bushes. I have no idea. Bushes?
Yeah.
Bushes.
Bushes. Hmm.
Maybe I was thinking of chocolate or something. Maybe I must be mixing up my plants. I'm not a botanist.
Well, after you've had breakfast, once you're ready to brave the sunshine, you will find sitting outside, waiting for you, sitting in the sun, quite unbothered by the sun. Mainly smoking quite sort of fat, clumsy looking hole ups. Just over a dozen men.
Hmm.
Okay.
Suppose so, this is our caravan.
They're sitting around some boxes and bags and things, and Wepu is standing next to them.
Oh, good.
He's getting his stuff together.
Now, actually, I've got a question for the GM. Who is in charge of this party?
Well, perhaps not in the eyes of the party, but certainly in the eyes of the local authorities, you would be the responsible.
So you're telling me that the one guy who does not have a doctorate degree is in charge of all the doctors. I like that.
Well, the
don't let
the,
it go to visa, your head, PJ.
Let it go to your head.
Your visa was issued to survey the region. In particular, they want you to survey the region approaching the Tamarau Mountains. They don't necessarily want you to climb the Tamarau Mountains. They already know how. They've already taken. I don't know how they do it. Distance things with things.
A plane.
Yes, they work
they
out
use
how high they are. That's it.
Well then,
so they know how high the mountains are, but they don't know the terrain there. There might be specific features of geographical or even geological interest that you might spot while you're there. So they just want really an on-the-ground survey. If there are existing villages or paths, they want to know where they are. But that's your reason for being there. That's why the visa was granted to allow an American group to go into this region. The rest of the party are simply attached to that, riding, if you will, on the coattails of that survey to do their business wherever they get the opportunity to see whatever they can of the region and hopefully...
All right. Something. So I think what our plan of action is going to be is we, of course, have whatever previous data from previous cartographical ventures, probably only covering this part of the coast. Once we get beyond that, we will, you know, travel, let's say, a mile into it and then make camp. And I shall do my job, and you're all free until I am finished to do your whatever you wish, to look at birds or lizards or whatever. And as soon as I have finished my survey, then we shall move to the next camp, which shall be whatever, 5 miles farther on. And we will just keep doing that. We'll just keep doing that for 5 weeks.
Well, Wepu explains to you that the easiest way in from here is to follow the coast until you get to a village called a village called Roti Village, which is just inland from the coast, and it marks the kind of beginning of the Kibar Valley.
Okay.
No, he says, well, look, it's pretty easy going when you're walking along the coast. You know, sometimes we're on the beaches, sometimes we have to go up onto the rocks a bit, but we're near the coast all the time. This is the coolest part of the country. You know, you've got the breeze all the time. This bit's easy going. This is a breeze, he says, without any hint of a pun.
Okay. Well, quite honestly, we don't really know how far we're going to be able to get in there because Truth is, you know, if this were flat land, I could have it surveyed in half an hour, but my guess is it's probably going to take me a day or two, maybe even longer, to survey a very small area. It's jungle, so... But that will give you all plenty of opportunity to do your own whatever you're here for. You'll probably discover untold species of plants and animals and large spiders.
Well, it's...
Well, I mean, might as well all stick together. I mean, that foliage looks pretty damn thick, and if what I've read a little bit about the jungle is true, people can get lost in there for days on end, and months even, and never find their way out.
Well, that's why we don't go that far from base camp.
Yeah, and I was going to say, that's why we don't split up.
Well, no, we split up when we're at base camp. Obviously, I'm not going to follow around the herpetologist.
Okay, fine. I'm just saying we should maybe have... Maybe at least one of the people who are in the caravan each with us when we go around looking at stuff.
Oh, well, sure. You should have somebody walking ahead of you chopping down the stuff with them machete.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to be something that we have to do.
Oh, speaking of which, yes, there is the matter of payment as well. Which takes the form, traditionally takes the form of rice and sago and starchy carbs of that ilk. Mm-hmm. But also things like knives and machetes are certainly welcomed by the men who don't have them. It wins over the it will win over the bearers.
I see.
But it's about not quite 20 miles. It's about 18 miles from Manawakari to Roti, which for an unladen local man would probably be a day's walk. But for a chain of bearers and a whole party of foreigners, you're looking at more like about 2 days.
Yeah.
So leaving as it is relatively early in the morning on Saturday, realistically, you imagine that you'd probably get there by about Monday afternoon. So you're going to be spending your first night. You're going to be camping, but as I said, you're camping by the coast.
Right.
You know, it's easy terrain. You know, it's kind of partly sand, partly rock shale. You can put up a tent on bits just up from the beach. And it's not really what you expect from New Guinea, from what you've read. From you go in thinking that it's either going to be the plains or the jungle, and this is just quite a sort of nondescript beach. You can see on your left-hand side, as you're making the first day's travel, as you get about 3 or 4 miles away from Manawakari, the land on the landward side, obviously on the landward side, the land out to sea,
the land,
the land, drops a little, and you get quite a remarkable view of the Arfak Mountains, which are also the Cyclops Mountains, and you can see that they're quite substantial, off in the distance. But you're heading to the Tamrau Mountains, which you can just kind of make out. You can see a few peaks off to sort of the off in front of you. But
Roti
quite a distance.
Is on the coast then?
Roti is a coastal village, yes.
And then once we get there is when we turn and head directly into the woods then?
Yeah, the overwhelming majority of your bearers, I think all but 3 of your bearers, are from Roti.
Ah, okay.
So they're all local. So they know the village. They're, you know, you know you're going to get a decent welcome there because you're with a pack of locals. Basically, I think their plan is that they're taking you through there. They're going to drop off the food that you've given them as payment with their families, and then they're going to push on.
Okay. Right. And we basically are heading towards the one destination of the Tamaro Mountain.
And yes, currently you're heading towards the Tamaro Mountains, is okay. Where initially that's the region they want you to survey. I mean, once that's surveyed, you're free to go and do whatever you want, really.
Right.
Hmm. But the visa conditions involve the survey of the Tamaro Mountains.
So I want to ask Wepu a question. Wepu, now, are there any dangerous animals here? Tigers, I know that there's poisonous animals, but I mean, do we have to worry about lions, tigers, or bears, or anything like that?
Don't think lions live in the jungle.
Oh my! No, there are crocodiles.
Okay, I'm familiar with crocodiles.
Yeah, there's lots of crocodiles. And you know, they say there are like monsters that live in the big lakes.
Ah, yes, but there's no like large jaguars or anything that's going to jump out of the trees and kill us.
It's a forest, so I'm pretty sure there might be something like that.
But there are snakes and spiders, and there are insects that burrow into your ear, and there's a...
Oh.
What?
I'm sorry, please go back a second. What was that?
I'm not sure I want to hear that. There are
insects that burrow into your ears and lay eggs, and...
Oh my god.
There are ants that'll burn you, and... But we'll show you these things and... where to avoid. I mean, we live here. We wouldn't put up a camp where those things are, because that would be foolish.
I guess what I'm kind of asking is,
no, you're the expert.
Do I need to carry my shotgun in my hand? Well, obviously I don't need a shotgun for any ants, but is that
really big ants?
Is there any large creature that's going to come jumping out of the forest, like a rhinoceros or a dinosaur, that we need to watch out for?
Dinosaur.
I don't know what that word means.
Well, are there any large carnivorous animals that are going to pose a threat if we don't have our guns in our hands?
Well, there are things that. He sort of looks at some of the other men, and they're oblivious. They don't understand what he's saying to them. They don't speak English, so he just says, "Well, I mean, there are things, but you know, so some of them that only the old people saw."
Well, I'm not even talking about legends. I just mean something to be careful of. Obviously, I don't think that is, because you don't really know what I'm talking about. But
well, it's the jungle, Mister. You have to be careful of everything.
Absolutely.
There's lots of things. There are plants that if you touch them, they'll make you burn and blister.
Wow. Well, like stinging nettles. Yes. Okay.
There are spiders and all sorts of things that will bite you. And but snakes.
nothing big, like a rhinoceros.
Well, there are tree kangaroos, but they won't.
Tree kangaroos.
They're peaceful things. And
okay.
There are bats.
I'll take it to believe that you will tell us if there's anything dangerous.
Mm-hmm. I think what he was saying is there anything aggressive that might try to attack us?
Anything large and aggressive. I mean, if some giant carnivorous rabbit comes at me, I'm going to kick it. But
carnivorous rabbit, what are you on, Pijo?
I don't know. Quite honestly, I have no idea what to expect in this And if there is a 400-foot-long snake, I'd like to know about it. But if there's just little bitty snakes, I'm fine. I don't care about little bitty snakes, even if they're poisonous.
There are crocodiles and
those I know what to look out for.
Monitor lizards.
Monitor lizards. Now, is this just a little bitty lizard, or is this the big lizard?
Oh, they're big. They're big. Yeah, they're big.
Oh my.
They're big.
Well, that's something to watch out for then.
and there are frogs that you mustn't touch. We'll show you those though.
But are they're not like as big as a man, right?
Oh no.
All right. Well, I'm just talking about things that are bigger than a man. I read that Rudyard Kipling's book about, you know, he had tigers and panthers and all sorts of large, gigantic snakes. Of course, that was in India, but I don't know what they've got here. Okay, I'm just panicking. Sorry.
Well, we have lots of animals with, I don't know how you say it, pouches.
Pouches.
Marsupials.
I don't know what your word is for it.
I would know. You'd have to ask the biologist. But all right, I just want to know dangerous. You point out any dangerous animals to me, please. All right. So we're walking at this point?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to keep quiet, my eyes open in case there's something in the the jungle going to get us.
There's deer, he says.
Well, maybe we can have some venison.
Better watch out there, Pijo. They're very dangerous deer, and they'll bite your neck open.
Well, there's boar. They're I mean, but you.
That's a dangerous animal.
Well, yeah, but
they can rip you open.
Pijo, anything can be dangerous. So
I suppose you're going to tell me that butterfly over there is dangerous.
Too much of a good thing is dangerous. I don't think as long as you're going to eat the butterfly, it's going to be dangerous.
Well, we keep you safe. We'll keep you safe. Don't worry. It's okay. We keep you safe.
Trust our guides here.
In addition, can we say that Pijo has a lot of that down-home sort of feel. So he immediately tries to make friends with all of the bears, even though they can't understand a word of what he's saying. Yeah, just smiling, kind of watch.
I just kind of watch this like, oh my God, he's going to make them think we're all insane.
Well, he, you know, you engage in small talk with Wepu, and just, you know, he asks you questions and finds out, you know, what each of you does.
Okay.
And he responds to that. I mean, for example, with Dr. Ordo, I keep forgetting how to pronounce that. He says, oh yes, there are plenty of birds there, and he tells you about some of the birds, but he only knows his words for the birds, and so it kind of whets your appetite. You know, yeah, and you do occasionally. You'll see like a something brightly coloured flitting about up on the tree line.
And, beautiful plumage.
I'll be sure to write down the words that he's to describe them to their names. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I'll do the same if he misses any lizards or reptiles that he indicates as well. Same as Dr. White is or Dr. Jack Audu.
Just call me Jack.
Jack. Same as Jack is doing.
You know, I'm mostly looking for, like, any sign of, like, sandstone sedimentation on the beach, or looking at the shale, especially the shale, because there could be, like, some fossil imprints in the shale, like footprints or something.
Yeah, you don't really find anything of interest. I mean, you could try making an archaeology roll.
I shall do that. And I just barely do not make it.
Well, you know, there's every now and then there's like a bit of rock or something that looks like it might be something, but then on closer examination it's just a bit of rock. It's not really a majorly habited area, this bit between the villages. Doesn't look like it's ever been habited, and obviously, you know, the sea comes in and washes everything away, so it's an unlikely place to find anything.
True. I figured because of the way the rock was, maybe. But
I suppose, Dr. Chase, one of the questions you might be asking is whether they have a written language of any kind.
Good question. You know, I would probably have asked Wepu that at some point.
Well, we have we tell stories.
Oh, okay. So
we have dancers that tell stories as well.
Oh, interesting.
And, sometimes we make things, masks, and we don't write the stories down. We don't need to.
So it's a purely oral tradition, kind of passed on over the generations.
Yeah, we just, you know, we sit together at night and we sing songs and we do the dances, the old dances, and we share our stories. Nice.
Yeah, I think that sounds absolutely fascinating.
Well, Saturday night comes, and it's actually rather nice. The moon's out, and bearers get a couple of fires going, two or three fires going.
We have the ocean on one side.
The ocean.
It's a literal tropical paradise.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, occasionally something scuttles underfoot. Probably crabs or something. Not the kind anyone would have picked up in Panama. Actual
crabs. Well, you'd have to ask Pijo about that, but
I always wash up before and after.
It's really quite a nice evening. It's perhaps even quite cool where you are down by the sea. And following morning you get up, have a light breakfast. Yeah, pot of coffee going, couple of pots of coffee going. The bearers all seem to be up before you were. A few of them are washing in the sea. And you notice that at any given point, at least like half of the bearers are just rolling cigarettes. They seem to spend a lot of time rolling cigarettes. Not necessarily smoking them, but they're certainly rolling quite a lot of cigarettes and
they must
tucking
be
cigarettes like, behind their ears and things. And
it must be for trinkets of some sort.
Well, tobacco is quite a new import into the region, so it's, you know, it's got a lot of novelty value. So
I share some of my Chesterfields with them if they.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was gonna do. Like,
they're very impressed by.
I was like, is there any way that I can in one of my smokes and ask if I can get one of theirs? Kind of like for a one-for-one trade kind of in a way, and then I'll smoke it.
Yeah, you manage to sort of gesture, a sort of swapping gesture quite easily, and the guy looks a bit befuddled, and he just, as if to say, like, why, you want to swap one of those ones for this? Yeah, all right. Yeah, fine. He seems quite happy to do that. And, I mean, in trying to smoke it, it's quite heavy duty tobacco. I mean, it's what they call twist tobacco.
No filter.
No, there's no filter, and it's quite a sort of a rough cut tobacco that's it's basically the same twists you've got for trade, but it's sort of smoke cured stuff, and you have to rub it quite a lot to break it down to roll it into a cigarette. It takes, you know, quite a lot of effort.
It probably produces one of those moments, though, where both sides start giggling about, you know, coughing from all the horrible tobacco smoking.
Well, I don't smoke, but I'm definitely watching this and laughing.
Dr. White is getting the kind of nicotine rush that he hasn't experienced since he was about 14 and first stole a cigarette and went and smoked it behind the shed or something. So you're feeling a bit overwhelmed by the whole thing. There's a sort of thumping in the temples, and you don't feel like you're going to need a cigarette for a few hours after this. You're getting quite a nicotine high. You're a bit tingly in the fingers.
Hopefully, it produces what it was supposed to, which is some camaraderie with the.
Yeah, well, the bearer you gave the cigarette to, he's like sort of, you know, he's struck a pose. He's sort of
standing there.
Yeah, he is. He's really sort of making a meal of it. The fact that he's got one of these.
These people are absolutely charming.
Taylor needs cigarettes. And you know, the other ones you've given cigarettes to, they're passing them around, and they're all having a try of it. You know.
Yeah, you know, I'm watching them.
Some of them are amused by it. Others are just going. Yeah, I don't like it. Yeah. I think some of them may find it a little weak.
So, have we just said? Oh no, you said morning. So it's morning.
Yep, we just woke up.
It's about 7:15.
Right. So we need to start. I help them pack up.
You know, I try to give a hand as well.
There's not a lot to pack up. I mean, they've only unpacked the absolute bare essentials, and you get by the way that Wepu has sort of taken charge of the bearers and is sort of getting people. When you noticed last night when he was putting the tents up, and this morning when he's getting the tents put down, he's clearly done this before. You're clearly not his first party. Or expedition. He seems quite experienced at doing this and marshalling the bearers, and
he's quite the man.
Yeah, I mean, if you make actually, go ahead and everyone make everyone who's got it make a psychology roll.
Oh,
I've got barely any, but I can try. How did I make that?
Yeah, I made it. I got a 0-2.
I only know the psychology.
I got a 9, so with my psychology of 15, I got a 9.
Those of you who make the role, it seems he's genuinely like he's got the respect of these men. They are paying attention to him, and he seems to have a genuine rapport with them. He's not, you know, he's not from their village, but he speaks their language, knows them well. There's a good vibe, as the young people would say.
Yeah, I got a 0-2, and my skill is 60. So,
yeah, he's a very you definitely get the opinion that he's a very competent man. He knows what he's doing, you know, and
I trust him.
Yeah, he seems to be quite trustworthy and honest. As well, I mean, he's not being lazy. He's not letting anyone else get away with shirking. But at the same time, he's not an overt disciplinarian. He seems like quite a balanced sort of bloke.
Cool. All right.
And with that, Corey has disappeared. So yeah, you set off again and again. Nothing very much happens. You know, it's very nice and.
You know, I could get used to this.
The sea is pleasant, and the sound of the sea is pleasant. And despite the fact they're carrying very heavy boxes, the bearers are smoking very heavily. It doesn't seem.
Reminds me of home, but warmer.
About 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you pause by a stream, and the bearers take that opportunity to have a quick wash, and particularly washing their feet.
Of course I'm bored, so I'm just doing some surveying stuff. I'm trying to find if I can locate this stream, if it's on any of the coastal maps or anything. If not,
it's just a tiny little
trickle.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. not really it's not the same thing that would be.
There's probably not even very much sedimentation, and therefore probably not much in the lake itself.
On the in terms of your route and where you are on the coast, there are certainly features. Like occasionally, I'm trying to think. The word is in that region. I don't think it's Motu. I think Motu is a Polynesian word. I'm going to call them Motus anyway. They're a little sort of not even really islands, just rocky outcrops.
Yeah, sea stacks.
Yeah, just off the coast. There's one or two things like that, which it's quite easy to look at the maps that you do have, and you can see pretty much where you are.
Okay.
You know, I mean, on the map, you're still quite close to Manapouri.
Right.
But yes, yeah, so you know where you are.
I'm just sort of following along, you know, to make sure everything is. Yeah.
You know that, I mean, you're making good, you can tell from the map by looking at it, you're making quite good time. You seem to be quite on schedule. You know, you're definitely getting closer. And the Arfak Mountains, you get some quite spectacular views of those mountains every now and then.
Mm-hmm. So at this point in time...
Up about 30... On average, the land is up about sort of 30 feet above you on your left-hand side. And most of the time, it's quite sort of sheer, rocky terrain. What looks like a track of some sort going up into the jungle. Some of them look like they might be made by people. Others look like they're just animal trails, probably.
Hmm.
Now that's always a dangerous thing, because if you accidentally follow an animal trail, it's very possible that you'll get in there for a while and then suddenly it'll disappear, you know, mm-hmm. and then you're lost.
Mm.
So,
good point.
Don't follow an animal trail. I mean, well, hunting. Yeah.
So at this point in time, it might be a good idea to have our canteens refilled. Is this water even safe to drink?
Well, you have.
We probably have plenty of water for a couple of days.
Yeah, you have enough water to get you to the village.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. And, I thought we had got like things, and, little. And then
you have things like water purification tablets, Condi's crystals, and Milbank bags. And Milbank bags are like basically a filter bag. So you fill the bag up with water. And then that water drips into a container, and then you can boil that, or you can use the purification crystals of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or both, if you want to be totally over the top, you don't need to do both. Boiling is the main thing.
I also do a couple of little... I'm just making this up as I go, because I'm sure as a cartologist, I probably know how to do it, but from where I am, I can probably set up some of my equipment. And looking at the mountains that you're talking about, I can probably accurately estimate how high they are.
Yes.
You know, and check that against the figures.
You can see that one of them is clearly the highest. So that you guess that must be Bonairau, which is
Bonairau,
the highest of that group.
Okay.
You know, I'm kind of looking in the stream bed for possibly any sign of, like, maybe dropped arrowheads or pieces of pottery or something. I figure if this is a well-traveled trail, there might be something that got smashed and lost that could be that could be pertinent to my work.
Oh, yeah, if you make an archaeology roll.
Which I actually do make this time.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
God damn it!
Good roll, though.
You know, good shot. Good shot. I tried.
Well, Sunday night comes. You know, you eat some tinned food next to the ocean. Looks very much like the ocean did last night. The experience is very much the same experience as last night. Maybe the bearers a little bit more relaxed. They're not quite as apprehensive about you as they were last night. You know, I mean, you're still foreigners. You're still just weirdos to them, but you know.
Do they seem to be interested in
It's always anticipation with Sean.
Dang it, Sean.
Sean, we got... Do they seem to be interested in...
A drink. Do they drink? This is gathered... Speaking with them. Do they... Oh.
They don't have any alcohol with them. No.
Could I take... I'd like to take... If I've even remotely struck up some kind of a rapport with the lead, could I possibly offer him something from my flask and have a little talk with him for a moment?
Make an idea roll.
I pass quite well.
You seem to recall that at various stages during the preparation for this trip, you have been warned not to give alcoholic beverages to the locals.
Well, then I will have a sip of my own, and I'd just like to have a little conversation with the lead and see if, you know, given my interest, any interesting reptiles in the area, just that.
With Wepu, no. Is this?
Yes.
You know, I think I'd probably join him in having absolutely. A drink and some discussion.
Yeah, just anything.
Yeah, he describes a very large lizard. Mm-hmm. Regionally, sounds like an extremely large lizard, or kind of like the Australian goanna, from the way he describes it. But okay. You know, when you say to him how big is this animal, he sort of, you know, he sort of sticks a couple of stones at a distance on the beach and says it's about that long. And if he's right, that would be a remarkably long lizard.
Are we talking monitor,
you know,
lizard size?
Yeah, like sort of monitor lizard size, and he shows you, but he shows you the girth. I mean, it's not like massive like a Komodo dragon. It seems to be quite a sort of, you know, a reasonable size for a lizard, but just extremely long. So you guess probably it's got a very long tail or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I just emphasize to him that I'm a herpetologist, but I'm always interested in discovering new, like I. Lizards, reptiles.
From the description he gives, I mean, the description he gives could, it's a bit vague, but it could quite, it reminds you that it could quite easily be like a Gila monster or a goanna or something, or a monitor lizard.
Okay, thank him. Chat away about whatever else he wants to talk about, I guess.
You know, he says there are plenty of like lizards and there are all sorts of lizards and and snakes. He said there are frogs as well. Lots of frogs.
Ah, lots of colorful ones, I bet.
Oh yeah, big ones too. Big frogs. Cannibal frogs. Big
frogs. Cannibal frogs.
Cannibal frogs. Yeah.
Wow.
Does it sound foreign to me?
I knew there were giant cannibal frogs.
I've never seen them.
They're after you, PJ.
Someone said.
They can smell southern blood. They just...
Give me a shot, Damien.
Don't be worried. Is he looking at my flask? Is he... Does he seem to be looking at it? Like
rolling a cigarette?
So I think maybe at this point I'd be a little interested in maybe asking about some legends concerning this Ropen.
Well,
still a personal interest, you know.
You'd say the word though.
They're not here. They're not on the coast. It's the I don't know what the word would be in your language, devil or something.
Devil.
Yeah, they live in the higher ground. Up in the hills and things.
Now, I've been told they're somewhat like a large bird.
They're big. They've got wings like a bird or a bat. But they only fly around at night, so it's difficult to tell. You only see them sometimes. They go past the moon, and you can see them going past the moon, or you can hear them. You hear them flapping. They sound very big, but I've never seen one. But I've heard them. I've never seen one.
Hmm.
My granddad saw one. Long time ago, my granddad saw one. He said he saw it take a pig.
Hmm.
Flew off with a pig.
But they're definitely like bird or bat, like they're not reptilian or anything.
Oh, I don't know. I've never seen one. I just know they're big and they've got wings and they're dangerous. You have to hide under the trees if they come.
All right. You know, at this point in time, I'm thinking it's like some sort of like ongoing like local legend with several different variations on it. I mean, he mentioned oral traditions earlier. It's probably something that is told through song or dance. It's probably something that is told as like a boogeyman type story, is what I'm thinking.
Does anyone else want to ask him any questions while you? So I'll take you sitting around the fire with him. No? Okay, in that case, we'll move on to the next morning. And again, you eat some bully beef and coffee. And you give your feet a wash in the sea. And... you're very glad that you decided to invest in a pair of decent walking boots before coming here, because otherwise you'd be a bit
blisters everywhere
at this point. So anyway, let's skip ahead, and the day progresses just as the other 2 days have, and nothing much happens. And by about 2:30 in the afternoon. You find yourself turning up a path that starts to lead inland.
Excellent.
Awesome. We're on our way there.
I'll start feeling more comfortable.
According to my maps, we should be approaching Roti.
Oh yes, it's just we'll see it shortly. In about half an hour, we'll when we come around the bend.
All right.
We'll see you then. And sure enough, a little over half an hour later, probably. So you come to a rather idyllic coastal village. The houses are all sitting behind the trees, much as you see them here. And this would be the focal point of the village, called Longhouse.
That'll be
perfect. No mind. Topless women.
Oh, well, you know, you've seen one booby, you've seen them all. You've seen them both.
the people come out, and they're quite pleased to see you, because obviously the most of the bearers are the families of the people here, and they hand over various bags of food and things, and one or two bits and pieces they picked up while they were at the settlement. I think some of them did a bit of trading for themselves. And we'll say this building here is where you'll be staying for the night.
All right.
And the bearers, and it's just you lot and Wepu staying in this building. And the bearers retreat to their homes, and the few bearers who aren't local, they have quite sort of long-term friendships with the bearers who are, so they're staying in their houses. So this will be your home for the night.
Yeah, it's
like a remarkable,
certainly very different. Wow,
it's a well put together village. It's like more organized than Hollandia was.
Oh, it's clearly the village has been there for quite some time.
Yeah, and they built this by hand. Remember?
Well, I just mean it's nice to put together. It's quite civilized the way that they've put it together.
Well, Dr. Morton, who's being characteristically reserved, seems quite interested by the thing. He's
got his nose in his books all day long.
He seems to be doing a sketch of it or something.
You know, I'm observing all this, taking all this in, maybe speaking with him a little bit, and kind of thinking back. You know, this is probably an almost untouched way of life for generations, possibly centuries at this point.
While you're standing around looking at this, every now and then a small child will come up and run up to you and just touch you, and then immediately run off behind a tree or something. So they're being dared to come up near you.
You know, I find that absolutely adorable.
And if any of you are blonde, if any characters in the party are blonde, you will occasionally find that people will come up to you and just start touching your hair.
I'm blonde.
He would have more gray hair, so.
No, I'm a brunette, so.
But they're quite fascinated. They don't see many people from outside their village, and the people they do see from outside their village is from other villages locally. So it's quite an event for them, you know.
I am a sandy blonde with blue eyes.
Oh, they'll find you absolutely fascinating. Although you do notice that one or two of the children have blue eyes as well.
That's very strange. If I've got any, like, I know it doesn't make any difference to them, but if I've got any, like, pennies or something in my pocket, I'll give them a penny.
Like that, you know, they'd look at it, and it's quite interesting. It's a gift, and
shiny.
You know, gifts are quite important in their culture.
You know, every now and then, as a kid runs up to me, I kind of kneel down, get on their level, and nod, maybe give them like a little like trinket or something, like probably like a seashell or something.
Okay. Dr. Ordu notices that you spot that quite a few of the women are wearing necklaces that include a mixture of shells and feathers. And some of the feathers are very brightly colored.
He's not looking at their necklaces.
Quite an interesting shape.
The necklaces fall in the same general area.
It does strike you that these are they haven't been dyed. You know, they haven't been dyed to get them these colors. These are the natural colors of the feathers, and some of them are sort of multicolored, like sort of blues and yellows and the same. They're very, very unusual looking feathers.
What do they call them? Bird of paradise?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to see. A kingbird of paradise. It's got a red head with a white belly.
Wow. Beautiful feathers.
Yeah, it's a nice friendly village, and they make you, they bring you food, and it's simple but good food, and it mainly consists of sago or some of the rice that you've brought, and lots of fish.
Oh, good for me! I love fish.
And lots of shellfish. I mean, it's a coastal fishing village, so predominantly most of their diet is fish. Lots and lots of fresh fish.
You said shellfish too, so
yeah, and shellfish as well. And Dr. White, make a biology roll.
That's you, Corey.
Oh, sorry, 1 second.
Doesn't know his own name.
I thought he'd frozen for a moment.
He's been smoking some of that wacky tobacco.
No.
Okay.
Well, I rolled and I made it, because I was interested. I do have some in biology, so...
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, there's some interesting aspects to this. Some of the fish and shellfish that are being served look quite unusual. You suspect that possibly a couple of types of mussel there might not yet actually be classified.
You know, I draw this to the biologist's attention. I'm like, hey, look at these shells.
I mean, it's quite an unusually large and very elongated mussels there.
You ever seen anything like this?
Obviously not, but it's interesting.
Well,
it's also good. I mean,
reminds me in shape and color of a quahog from Rhode Island on the coast. You know, the seafood in Arkham is really quite good.
Grew up there my whole life, and you know, you're not an Arkham native if you don't like the seafood, as they say.
Yeah, or anywhere else in those coastal cities.
After the meal, a middle-aged man wearing quite an elaborate beaded headdress comes into your hut, and he sits down. Wepu introduces him as the headman of the village. And his name is Ire, I-R-E. He pulls out this gourd that he's brought with him. And there's a couple of younger men with him, probably in their 20s. You recognize them as two of the bearers. And they've got a lot of... half coconuts, just, you know, half shells, stacked up, and they give everyone one of these coconut shells filled with a sort of a milky liquid from gourd.
Oh, thank you.
And Ire holds his up and takes a sip of it, and then Wepu says, you can drink yours now.
So,
I'm in.
And he's just saying welcome to our village.
Right. I take a sip. What does it taste like? Coconut?
No. It's kind of bitter. It's sort of milky and bitter at the same time. Really, it's not altogether unpleasant. It's a kind of taste. You get the feeling that if you were if you were served this in your own country, it would have rather a lot of sugar added to it.
Wow.
You know.
Is it fermented?
I assume it's probably alcoholic.
It seems it has a sort of tang, strange sort of acidic tang that makes you think that it may be fermented, but it doesn't smell or taste like alcohol. It's not got a sort of warming alcohol sort of effect.
Well, do as the natives do, so
indeed. Drink it down.
Okay. And I'm like, thank you.
You know, I thank him again, and I...
Yeah, I take a drink out of this.
Okay. Is anyone not drinking it?
I'm going to take...
Oh, I'm in.
Enough so as not to be rude.
I fear no adventure!
Okay. Well, I mean, if any of you finish it, you're offered some more.
Thank you.
My gut feeling is telling me a local drink. I'm in.
My gut feeling is telling me this is a hallucinogen. So I'm.
Yeah, same. I'm going to probably be careful with the second one.
I rolled a 6 to decide that yes, I'm going to take some more.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm hoping that it's a hallucinogen.
Oh, this will be fun if it is.
I don't care. I'll drink his you know, casually.
Excellent. Don't mind into yours there, John.
Could you all make a constitution roll, please?
Oh God! I make it.
Yes, I passed.
Okay. Does anyone fail?
I failed miserably. I got a 91.
Oh no!
Just give like me a second here.
Now, that movie.
I just pass.
Okay. Well, those of you who pass, it occurs to you about half an hour after you've drunk this stuff. It occurs to you that this hut really is a very, very interesting color.
It's a really nice shade of purple.
And, you know, you feel very relaxed. And
ever seen a purple that color?
Purple.
You know, you're just, you know, chatting away to each other and Wepu, and occasionally the Irei, the headman, will make a remark about something, and Wepu will translate it, and it's just small talk. It's nothing of any magnitude. Mm-hmm. Dr. Donovan.
Oh no.
However,
I'm ready.
Yeah, you kind of lose track of what's going on for a bit. And the next thing you know, and actually, you know, no one remembers actually this happening until you just sort of catch him in the act. All of a sudden, you become aware that Dr. Donovan has moved across the room and appears to be touching the face of one of the blokes who's been acting as your bearers.
Excellent.
and the two bearers find this hilarious.
What the?
They're not in any way offended by it, but they find it very, very funny. And he's just sort of touching their face like that, with a kind of a glazed expression on his face. I think probably. Damien had quite a lot more of this than anyone else did, and really sort of knocked back two or three of them. So
it goes with the character. Yes,
Dr. Donovan, are you all right there?
For the others of you, I mean, it's not like a sort of like it's not like a full on hallucinogen, but it's you get the feeling that it's definitely on some level psychoactive.
Mm-hmm.
You're pretty stoned. That would be the modern world word for it. I don't know what.
It's
perfect. You're not drunk though. I mean, your limbs feel quite heavy. You feel very relaxed, quite talkative, and the colors in the room all seem quite bright and clear, and you're very aware of people's faces, but you're not like hallucinating or tripping or anything. Seems to be quite a mild substance, whatever it is.
However,
feels kind of like I'm in one of those talkie pictures, but it's all in color. You ever get that feeling? You're just like,
I'm still fascinated by the word purple. Since you said it, I never realized that it was such an interesting word.
Dr. Really Chase. Is. You know, I think purple is part of is like my favorite color.
Chase, that's a weird word too.
It kind of is, isn't it?
Chase.
The word splunk.
Like a chair or something.
Chase. Purple Chase.
What's this?
Ooh, I wish I had a purple Chase. I could put it in my apartment and I could invite you all over and we could all just sit and talk about. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
You have something on your forehead right here.
The headman says something to Wepu. And Wepu starts laughing.
What do you say?
I don't speak their language, but I think he just called us all lightweights.
He said, I'll have some more of that stuff.
you saw what happened to Dr. Donovan, though.
You know what, Pijo? Let's have some more. I'm kind of craving some more of this. It's actually really, 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 really good.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe they're not offering anymore.
Keeper's just like, no.
It seems that, you know, when you put your shell down, your coconut shell down, the headman brings the gourd up in a sort of questioning manner whenever you put it down. It's just,
are you sure you want more?
I'm in. Apparently.
You know, I'm just kind of fascinated with the color of the liquid in the coconut shell.
It's a strange looking liquid. Yeah, it's kind of, it looks like sort of kind of like milk, but then it's got sort of, I don't know, it's got a strange texture.
So, Wepu, what's in the drink?
We call it kava.
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 I have a cousin named Ethel Kava.
You know, I think the word is carver.
You know my cousin. How do you know my cousin?
I don't know. Did we go to school together? I could have sworn I knew a carver in my...
Kava is a plant, then?
Genealogy class. Something about...
Kava.
I'm just... I don't know.
It says, right. Yeah, it's a plant. It's a root. And we... he sort of giggles. He says, we prepare it. It's given to guests.
I see. Well... You got yourself there something that could be sold commercially for a lot of money.
And he kind of it says something to the headman. You get the feeling he's just translating what you just said. And the headman starts giggling again.
You know, when I first looked at you, Wepu, I thought, well, there's an interesting looking man, but you look more and more interesting as this evening goes on. You are an interesting looking man.
It does that. He says.
This wall, this bamboo wall or whatever, is really, really textured. You ever feel? Come feel this wall.
I'm already feeling this wall.
Wow.
The wall can better? Hear you. The wall can hear you. Feel the wall.
I think the wall is fine if I just like pet it, like a cat.
It's your funeral.
I don't think the wall's gonna do anything, PJ.
I think I'm gonna go to sleep.
Beppo, tell PJ. Did you tell PJ the wall? Oh.
I'm gone.
Oh. No, I just kind of stare at him for a minute, and then I just start giggling uncontrollably.
Well, the headman sort of clambers up to his feet, and he sort of dips his head and says something, and Wepu translates it as, "Well, that was all very nice. I'm going back to my family in my bed now. You are welcome guests in our village. I hope you have." I hope you have a good and safe journey. And with that, he leaves, as do the two bearers. One of them looking considerably worse for wear. And you're left with Wepu.
What a nice guy. I tell you, he's a really nice guy. I like this village. I like these people. I love all you, man. I feel like one big family in here.
They're nice people here. Good people. Fishermen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure at this point I'm just gonna kind of pass out as well.
Yeah, you all find it very easy to sleep tonight. You know, even Dr. Adu, who's only had the one cup of it. I mean, it's quite relaxing. It's quite. There's not any sense of anxiety or anything. It's quite a gentle experience. You know, if you've only had the one cup, you just feel a bit relaxed. If you've had more, you feel a little sillier.
Mm.
If you've had too much, then you start being a bit odd.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure with after the couple long days hike like that, and the weather, and how this making me feel pretty good, so sleep's going to come easy tonight.
Oh yes, yeah, you have a very nice, and it's quite comfortable now, especially after a couple of nights in tents.
Despite the sound of all those frogs and insects.
Sleeping in a hammock is quite nice.
Oh, goodness, I could sleep in a hammock forever. I love hammocks.
I think I'm sleeping on the floor, so.
Yes, you just. Hammock. Well, sleeping is yeah, you might. Passed out is what you've actually done. But yeah, it's nice and cool, and you can hear the sound of the surf, the occasional dog barking, and cool. Yes, you have a very peaceful and restful night's sleep. And in the morning, when you awake, you're struck by the fact that you don't remember. No one remembers dreaming, and you don't remember a great deal about last night.
Mm. Do we have like a hangover or?
No, just no hangover.
When did we get here again?
A little bit bleary.
Why are all my clothes on?
On?
Yeah, I don't sleep with my clothes on.
Why are all my clothes off?
We must have had some kind of party last night, because I remember only that I was kind of enjoying myself, but I don't remember what the hell happened.
There was a really nice shade of purple. That's all I remember.
Purple. Well,
They, I mean, you brought some. Okay, you clean up, and when you get back, you brought some breakfast. And the only thing that strikes you is you are unusually hungry this morning. Oh, yeah. Almost feel like you didn't have any dinner last night.
Yeah, I mean,
there's some fruit as well, and for some reason you're really craving fruit as well.
I've done this in real life.
Tastes like really good too.
Yeah, you know, I thank them and I dig right in.
What kind of fruit do they give us here? Do we recognize any of it?
Yeah, they're kind of like there's some things that look like mangoes and some other things that look like pomegranates.
Hmm. Cool.
Probably bananas.
It's nice. Yeah, there's a few interesting bits and pieces, and some of them like sort of large-ish berries, almost like sort of dark cherries. You don't entirely recognize what they are, but it's nice, you know. It's fruit for breakfast is a good thing.
It's good stuff.
So you're quite happy with that. When you finished breakfast, Wepu says, "Well, I mean, do you want to spend time in this village, or shall we leave today?"
Well, I mean, I'm all for spending time. I'm all for getting started. Whatever the group wants to do.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Whatever the group wants to do.
Well, so we've only got 5 weeks, so I think that we should probably get started. We had a good time last night with all those. Were there like 150 people at that party? I don't remember.
Kind of unless, crazy
like 20.
Unless you guys really want to stay in this village overnight, I think we should get started. We are on an expedition.
Well, true.
Well, the next village, he tells you, is properly into the valley, properly into the Kibar Valley.
Yeah.
And that is the village of Andai. Andai. Which, again, is about 2 or 3 days' travel from where you are. So, I mean, you're getting the idea that that's kind of the distance between villages.
I guess my question would be, do I start surveying before we get to Andai? At what point do I start surveying?
Well, as you enter the Kibar Valley, you have a rudimentary map. From this point on, you have once you leave the coast, you have a rudimentary map that roughly shows you the position of the mountains. Now, you know that a survey team, a Dutch survey team, is being sent to the Arfak Mountains, so you don't have to survey those.
Okay.
So, presumably, yes, making notes and doing some rudimentary survey work as you're going through the Kibar Valley would be a good idea. If for no other reason, just to be able to find your way out should anything happen.
Okay.
And also, you know, to put the position, the relative positions of the mountains into context.
Good point.
So, the intent too that once we get to our destination, our return route will follow the same route out.
If that's what you want to do.
Yeah. I'd imagine so.
Want to do that. You would go from Andai. From Andai there are two more villages. And that will take you to the edge of the mountains. Where the mountain range starts, where the land rises, and then I think there's another village on the way to the mountains, but I've never been up there before. But I know that one of the men one of the men is from the Wabia village, and that is the nearest village to the mountain. So if there are people up in the hills, he might know. I'll go and ask him in a minute when he comes.
Okay.
And he would know their language. I don't know all their languages, but he would know their language, and I can talk to him, and he can talk to them.
All right, gotcha.
But there are definitely people. He knows that there are people living in the mountains.
So, my suggestion, at least, is that around 2 o'clock. We will make camp wherever we are. Okay. And then for a couple of hours, I will do some surveying. The others can do whatever they want to do, their own scientific explorations. And then the next morning, we'll get up and move to the next location until about 2 o'clock, and then just keep going like that.
So that it's we probably have a good plan.
A few hours to look around wherever we are.
Okay, I mean, at that rate, it's going to take you about 3 days to get to Amber. Okay. Okay. In that case, we'll skip ahead then to 2 p.m. that day, after a day's walking. And you're very much aware that as you get further away from the coast, it's getting hotter and it's getting more humid. But the valley is kind of an open plain. Oh, pardon me. It's kind of an open plain, so it's not too bad. It's okay. I mean, it's hot, but it's not as oppressive as you expected it to be. You've got your hats and pith helmets or what have you. And you wouldn't want to be out here without a hat on or without any water. But right. You have a hat, you have water, and you have the right equipment, and it's bearable. It's okay. You know, you're making slow progress because it, as I said, it is warm. No, you're certainly feeling it. You strike camp at about 2 o'clock. And yes, if you're going to do your surveying, okay. Do you have a specific cartographic skill?
A specific skill? I mean, map making.
Map making. Yeah, that would do. Yeah, make a map making roll.
Right. Oh, you mean on my thing? Okay,
let's see.
Do I have something on here? Yeah, I got cartography, so.
Okay.
Wow, believe it or not, I got an 88, which is too high. I did not pass.
Okay.
And I've got 75 in it, so. I'm like really pissed off because this is hard to move around in this jungle, and I can't find a place to set up, and this is going to be a lot harder than I thought that it was going to be. I'm very frustrated today.
Okay. Does anyone want to go out and explore the area?
Yeah, I'll go with somebody and I'll go and explore. Why not?
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, if you go anywhere, one of the bearers will come with you.
Good.
Wepu stays at the base camp. He's getting the tents up.
Well, not too far from base camp. I don't want to go too far.
Just look for landmarks and make sure you.
Well, it's the valley is very much it's a kind of gently sloping plain, so you can go quite a distance and still see the base camp.
If Wepo, we probably get a fire going, yes?
Oh, yes, yeah.
So you should be able to see the smoke from the
fire. Yeah, they'll get 2 or 3 fires going. Well, a couple at least.
Anything of particular note out here?
Well, in order to assess that, you would each have to make a roll with your specific skill to your field of
expertise.
Expertise.
Okay. I passed with a 06 in bio.
Wow.
Okay. Well, you are you're spoiled for choice, really. I mean, there's a bewildering array of plants and insects. It really is quite astonishing. You almost don't know where to start.
Like a kid in candy store. Like,
yeah, you begin making some notes and sketches of some of the things that you can see. There's one or two things that look very interesting. There's some fungi that look completely unlike anything you've ever seen. So you start doing a little sketch of those, and it takes you about an hour, but you know, it's quite quickly. Jack, there are plenty of birds around the area. The problem being that they're clearly not used to the presence of human beings.
That's what I was afraid of. I was trying to think.
And the moment you go anywhere near them, they just flutter off. But you, mm-hmm. So basically, you're just seeing them as big, sort of colorful blurs moving around, but in some very interesting and unusual shades of color. Mm-hmm. There's one thing in particular, looks like it might be a very tiny parrot, but you can't quite get close enough to see it to make sure. Anyone else make a successful roll?
No.
Okay. Well, you don't see any lizards.
There
are no lizards or snakes.
Ah.
Were you to mention that to Wefu? Wefu would tell you it's a good thing that you haven't seen any snakes. Me. Okay.
Oh, wait.
I did make my archaeology roll.
Wait, I did. I did. I was successful. I'm sorry as well. Sorry.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes, all right. If you were successful, then you see a very interesting blue and yellow lizard. It's quite small, but it's sort of a pale, sort of almost pale powder blue, with little yellow marks about the size of grains of rice.
Hmm.
Along its back. It's about 2.5-3 inches long. But it's more the color that strikes you.
Have I ever seen anything like this before?
No, you haven't.
Huh.
It's about the size of a sort of European common lizard. But the head is quite sort of pointed.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting specimen.
Well, I don't know what the common protocol is. I mean, it's not like I have a digital camera with me or anything like that. Would I normally capture it, or would I simply...
You could. I mean, it'd be quite easy to capture it. It doesn't seem to be doing much. It's just sort of sitting on a rock, basking in the sun. I would let you make an attempt to capture it. You
can, I would like that, yes.
Capture it before Pijo shoots it.
or smacks it with a mosquito whacking thing or a bug swatter.
All right. Make a dex roll.
I think we can assume that while you guys are doing all of this stuff, I'm surveying. So.
Okay, well, success. I made my archaeology roll, so do I see anything?
Well, you maybe you see what looks like it might be the outline of a settlement from where you're standing on the hill, looking down into the valley. You can see a disturbance in the ground, several disturbances in the ground that look like they might previously have been the sites of huts or something. And going down there are no artifacts of any interest, but you get the feeling that this area may have been settled at some point.
Clearly, some sort of group came through here, settled it, and then ended up leaving or moving to another area.
Did you make your dexterity roll, by the way? Dr. Donovan?
Dexterity roll? I'm sorry.
Yes, sorry.
I failed by one.
Oh! It just, at the last moment, just slips out of your fingers. It's quicker than it looks. And it's gone. It just darts off into the grass. And off it shoots. And then, moments later, its father arrives. 18 feet tall. No.
Don't talk to me or my son ever again.
Its father. Gojira.
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 Well, so you each spend a couple of hours having a look about with varying levels of success. And I'd say, about 4:30. You get back to the camp. Everything's been set up. There's a couple of fires going. There's food being prepared. This is second nature to these guys. They spend half their life in the bush. So striking a camp, getting food going, no problem at all. Still on the supplies. No one's gone out hunting or anything. But it's not bad for tinned food. It's all right. And you've got some of the fresh provisions still. Probably for the next 3 or 4 days as well. So that's okay. By quite early in the evening, probably about 9 o'clock in the evening, you find yourself settling down to sleep. And
a lot today.
Woken at dawn the next morning.
I got surprisingly very little done.
Well, I mean, I found something, but not much evidence that it was settled, but there was an indent. I mean, it looked like it had been settled at one point.
So I'm sorry, you said it was morning now, okay.
Yeah. Again, quick breakfast, hot coffee, and pack up camp. More roll-ups are rolled, and off you set. So I'll tell you what we'll do, actually. We'll just keep skipping forward to the actual setting up camp bit for the moment. Okay. Until you get to Andai, because nothing very much is happening. It's a largely sort of unoccupied area.
Yes. A much more successful area for my cartography. I'm actually able to get some of the stuff that I missed yesterday looking back. Okay. And
not as successful for me.
Okay, anyone else going and doing anything today?
Yeah, I'll do some more studying for the file. And that time, I even get a better result.
Okay, well, one.
Son.
Apparently this is up in my wheelhouse over here.
Well, you spend about an hour and a half looking for something of interest. And at first, you don't find anything particularly remarkable. But after wandering for a while, you find yourself, you find this sort of boggy area just on the edge of some bushes. And you've almost given up when the bearer who's with you starts motioning towards you and waving you towards him and pointing down into this boggy area. And there, on this old rotten piece of wood, is an absolutely extraordinary little, tiny little black and yellow striped orchid. It's about, the flower is about 2.5 inches high, and it's striped almost like a wasp.
Okay. Okay, that seems really, really cool. Is there anybody in from the group that's around me or no?
No, it's just you and the bearer.
Okay, I was thinking of taking it, but I'm pretty sure I don't want to do that. So I will leave it there, and then I will wait later on. I'll try to get somebody, probably Damien, to come and look at this.
I'm probably within earshot. I'm just wandering, looking for the same damn lizard I missed.
I try and call out, see if Damien can hear me.
Okay, Damien, make a listen roll.
Yep, I'm good.
Yeah, you can hear him, yeah.
Say, hey.
What do you got, White? Dr. White?
Come over here. It's really, really just come over here. You got to see this.
I saunter over.
And I show this to him.
Again, it's this fascinating looking orchid that seems to be striped yellow and black like a wasp.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Are they usually striped like this, or are they usually a solid color?
Normally, they're a variety. They're sometimes they're solid colors. Sometimes they're a mixture of colors. But you certainly have never seen a striped one before.
Hmm. Well, this is very interesting. Good find, nice find, Dr. White.
I know it's really, really interesting. I will jot it down in my notebook.
Yeah, you jot down a few thoughts about its possible taxonomic status and make a few sketches. You know, you draw out two or three sketches until you have one you're happy with. Wish that you put some colored pencils with it or something, but you make notes of the color scheme of it. And I mean, you just in passing, you examine the piece of wood that it's on, and you know, it would be quite a job to cut down a piece of that. And you can't see any others like it in the area. It just seems to be the only one like it.
Is it just how big is this log that's on it?
The log is about just under a foot wide and about 7 or 8 feet long.
Okay. Cause it's not
quite rotten. And it's floating in a very unsavory looking pool of water.
Oh, yeah, then no. Unless you have an idea there, Damien, let's...
Lizards, bugs, that's my thing. Beyond that, it's just not something I'm an expert in.
Well, what's this bug that, or is lizard that you're trying? Maybe I could help you try and catch this.
Ah, it's about yay big. It's blue. I describe it as best I can. Specks the size of rice. Fast, apparently, because I'm pretty good at catching them, and that thing just got out of my hands.
That's not good. I could try and help you find it, see if you can. If you want to catch it.
Yeah. You know what? For your orchid, we should probably look and see if there's any that have gone to seed. I don't know how orchids reproduce, but knowing some of the professors back where I work, they cultivate those in greenhouses, and they're just absolutely livid if they find out that someone's discovered something new and they haven't been able to get a seed for it, or flipping, yeah, or whatever the heck it's called. Not my thing again. Sorry.
Wow. Jack, did you make a roll?
Sorry, no. But I was going to see if I could head out like John did with away from the group and with maybe one other porters or something.
Okay.
Go ahead and roll.
Yeah, go ahead and roll.
Yes, that's a pass. Regular.
You don't get close enough for a really good look, but you do find yourself seeing that same little red bird, okay, or a very similar little red bird, not necessarily the same one. And it does strike you that even though this is a very small bird, it appears to be a parrot. Like almost like a sort of pygmy parrot, like a dwarf parrot. Okay. And you see examples of it, or the same bird, or you can't work out whether it's the same bird or you're seeing different members of the same species.
Mm-hmm.
But about three times in the course of a couple of hours, you see it enough to certainly to start sketching it out.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's definitely it strikes you as something interesting. You can hear plenty of birds in the undergrowth.
Okay.
And you can see birds flying overhead, but this red one, because of the undergrowth, the bright red plumage really stands out. So you find your eye drawn to it quite easily.
Is it up high in the trees, or is it like a lower down in the brush? Or?
Well, it's there aren't really any trees. There are more just bushes.
Bushes, okay.
And some of the bushes have, it being spring, some of the bushes are producing flowers. And one or two of the bushes are producing what look like early berries. And it's these early berries that this little bird is flying around feeding on the berries. Certainly you can see it well enough to see that its beak is the curved beak of a parrot or parakeet.
Okay. Any, can you give me a size reference? Like you're saying small,
it's difficult to tell because you can't quite, as I say, you can't quite get close enough to get the kind of look you'd really want to get. But you would estimate that its height is about 4 or 5 inches.
Okay. Yeah,
so it's quite wee.
I'll make notes and try to sketch as best I can.
Okay. Anyone else? Dr. Chase.
Can I find that lizard again? go ahead. Sorry.
So make a spot hidden, actually, yeah.
I don't want to cut anybody else off.
Wait, is that a spot hidden for everybody, or?
No, that's just a spot hidden, just for Dr. Donovan, because he already saw it the day before, so he knows what he's looking for.
I got less than half my value.
Okay, that's quite good. Well, go on, then make another dexterity roll, see if you can catch him.
Ah, I found one, damn it. It's my dex. Ah, yes, made it.
Yep, you managed to get it into a jar, into which you've previously put some of the local foliage. it's got a little mesh lid. Nice. So you're a herpetologist, so you've got jars for catching lizards.
Yeah, I'm prepared. Yeah.
It's only little, but it is rather pretty. It's a rather pretty little lizard.
And I look at it. Oh, it's a pretty cute little lizard there, Damien. Do you got a jar tooth? I'm gonna try and capture this orchid.
Ah. Have fun capturing the orchid. Here's a
I mean, you've got equipment of your own.
You've got your own. I've got. If you need some help preparing samples, I can give it. I think this is this a lizard I've seen before? Is this something new? Is this in the texts?
You don't recognize it.
Hmm.
Certainly, the color is nothing you've seen before.
Well, Dr. Chase. If this is something I haven't seen in the past, if this is a new discovery, I'm naming it after you.
That's very flattering. Thank you.
Yeah, I want to grab the orchid and try to get the bulbs or the seeds or something like that.
Okay, well, make a biology roll.
Just one second. I failed by two.
Is there any way
I can spend luck?
You can spend luck if you want.
I could try to help him if he wants.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Okay.
I can hear you.
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Oh, sorry. I pulled the jack plug out of the computer. Sorry. okay. So that was an analog issue. Okay. Well, if you've made a successful roll, then we'll say that you can... you managed to find... a seed pod, an intact seed pod, which may or may not be ripe. You're not sure what the season is for this thing. You take a seed pod anyway, and you put it into a test tube with a rubber yeah. stopper. Dr. Chase, did you make an archaeology roll?
I did, but I did not make it unless I'm allowed to push.
I'm not sure really how you would push in that circumstance, given that it's just you're just looking for something.
Yeah, unfortunately, I rolled a 76. My archaeology is 56.
Yeah, there might have been a path or a trackway there within the last few decades, possibly, but there's no signs of any more settlements or anything. It looks really just like grassland.
Well, certainly it was worth a shot.
There's no signs of any structures or any artifacts or anything.
Well, next time's a charm, maybe. Can't win them all.
Well, with that, then, you head back to camp for another night's rest. And we will pick up next time for the events of the following morning.
Oh, cool. Hmm. Cool. So we're all doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Heading into the woods and...
It's a completely innocuous academic mission. An academic survey in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing to worry about at all.
Maybe we need to leave a pile.
Nothing could possibly go wrong.
We're probably all literally just ecstatic because...
Yeah, I mean...
We're in a perfect environment for what we want to study. Okay, well, our players included Jen Coulter, Corey Heistad, Sean Little, Thomas McKeon. Thomas was out tonight. Jeff Wilkins and myself with Mick Swan as the Keeper of the Secrets. Please consider visiting our Patreon site. If each of you just contributed a dollar or two a month, we would be able to cover all of our expenses without any problem. We're currently producing 4 shows a week with music and sound effects added in post-production. In order to create a richer listener experience, we provide audio-only versions of our shows free for you to download from Podbean or iTunes. Our musical intro, Birch Run Primal Drive, was composed by our friend Kevin McLeod and is used royalty-free under the Creative Commons Attribution License. Feel free to send us comments on the show. We'd love to hear from you. If you enjoyed our broadcast, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to our channel for updates on our latest shows. You will find links to everything I mentioned in the description below. This is Tom Raleigh inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Until next time, good luck and good gaming.